Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, October 8th, 2017. Pastor Paul Tolberg. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. For the children's devotion today, I have something that actually goes all the way through into the sermon. So at this time, I'd like the children to come up here for a brief children's devotion. Using my little castle. Good morning. Good morning. Morning, how you doing this morning? Doing good, doing good. This is my castle. Some members of a confirmation class a couple years ago made this so I could use it this year all the time to remind us of what God did through by releasing his word again at the Reformation time. And so inside here has been our little room. And inside this little room is something that Psalm 27 talks about. Now, later on, I'm going to tell the adults something, but I want to let you know first. This is the only time in the Bible, in the Old Testament, where the Lord is called the light. And if you were living way back then, you would have thought, God who said, let there be light, and then he is light also, wow. And so you're thinking, And the guy who first of all was told to write this, he was in a very scary time. How do you feel in a scary time? Give me a show. What's your face look like if you're scared? Oh, that's a good scary face, yeah. What does your mom and dad do at night if you're scared? I'll tell you what my mom did for me. You know what she did? She turned on the light. Because then I wasn't afraid. I could see everything around me. I didn't have to have my imagination go really, really bad and scary and think about all the bears underneath my bed. Because there were bears underneath my bed, you know. But turn on the light, they all disappear. How cool is that? Well, inside here, I have a little flashlight for you. And just to remind you that Jesus is the light and the Lord is the light and I don't have to be afraid. Sometimes I am. So when I'm afraid, I trust in the Lord, I trust in him, and then I'm not afraid. Because what did Jesus do? He took on the scariest monster of everybody. He took on a guy by the name of Satan, and he beat him up and threw him away into prison. And he says, you know what? All the things that you're worried about, all those naughty things, I want to let you know I paid for them all. He went to a cross and he died. It's a sad time. But then he came back to life again on Easter. And that's why we're here today, to remind ourselves that Jesus is the light. Now, this is itty bitty, but look at how bright this is. Whoa, isn't that bright light? Yeah, it's really bright. So I'm going to give you this, but I want to ask you to do something for me. Please don't turn it on during the sermon, okay? Because that will really distract me. I think they would all like it if you did, but I'm going to ask you not to do that. And in here, we have enough for all of you. So let's first of all go to Jesus and talk to him. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for telling us that you are the Lord and you are my light. I don't have to be afraid. You have saved me. You took away all my sins. You said I get to go home to heaven at the end of life. Jesus, when I am afraid, remind me that you are the light and turn on so that I can see everything around me is all safely in your hands. Amen. Okay, so here you go. Have yourself a flashlight. Here you go, Henry. There you go. And now you may go back to your seats. Will you get a flashlight? There you go. Will you get one for your grandma? Sure. There you go. Of course, if you're watching and you know Sue's a grandma, now you know, of course, that Bruce is going to be upset that his grandchildren aren't here. Yeah. It's okay, Bruce. I have an extra one for us. Psalm 27 was written by, the first two words of Psalm 27 are of David. That should let you know something. Of David. Who's David? Well, he's that scrawny kid that dad knew he could not be a king. So when they asked for all the sons and daughters, all the sons to come so that Samuel could anoint the next king, they didn't even think about David. He was out tending sheep. When King David went to, he was a gopher boy, got the bread for his brothers when they were at battle time, and this big giant of a man is making fun of God and making fun of God's people, and he's just really upset. He goes up to these big army guys and says, "How come you guys don't do anything?" And they said, "You scrawny little kid, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know how to fight a war." So he goes into the king and says, "King, let me fight him for you." He's making fun of the living God. So what happens? The king says, "Well, sure, wear my armor." But King David must have been like me. Armor didn't fit. So he went out to face Goliath, and Goliath fell. Because the Lord was with David. David did not have the wisest choices in his life. He constantly was falling again and again for Satan's tricks. He hurt a lot of people. But, oh my goodness, if you are a leader and you've ever studied the book of the Kings and you've specifically studied about David, you know this man was high stressed. He had multiple wives, first of all, which goes against everything that God says, and then his multiple wives were bicker. And then what happened is one of his children raped one of his other children. How heart-wrenching was that? And then one of his children said, "You know, I don't like waiting for Dad to die off and take over." So he started an uprising, a year in the making, to bump off his own dad, whom he knew God had placed there. So King David had to go on the run, leave everything behind. He was constantly being attacked with words, people making fun of him. He was constantly being attacked just by his enemies, trying to kill him. It's a kind of a dark, dark, dark time. And in the middle of this dark, dark time, the Lord says, "Pick up a pen. I need to tell people something." So he writes this psalm, Psalm 27. And this psalm is unusual, not just because of what I told the children. I don't know if you heard or not, but this is the only time in the Old Testament where the Lord refers to himself as the light. He has referred to himself as the salvation before, but never as the light. But that's not the only amazing thing about this psalm. Psalms are written, are prayers, and a praise or whatever it might be, and they're written like our prayers. You address them to the Lord, and then you look around or you look on the inside and say, "Oh, Lord, this is the problem I see. I see hurricane devastations. I see unrest in America. I see wicked people butchering innocent people. I see terrorism on the rise. I see discontent. I see grumbling and complaining." And you lay all the things out that you see. Then you lay out all the things going on in your life. I have a bad thing from the doctor, and I have this bad thing going on in my life, and I have no time for this or for that. And then you go and you lay down and you say, "Lord, those are my bad things. I'm thinking that this would be good if you do this or this or this." And then at the very end, we say, "Thank you for listening, and I know that you will take care of it. Amen." That's how some of the problems of Psalms are. Not this one. This one starts off by saying the amen, the thank you for being you. Thank you for taking care of everything. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for being my light and my salvation, so I'm not afraid. Thank you so much. And then he goes on later into whatever it was that he was going to talk about. So it's kind of backwards in our sense of thinking, but first and foremost, it's all about giving God the praise and honor that he deserves, even in a time of stress. So listen to these words. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord. This is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle. He will set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Wow. He says, God, I know who you are. I know you are my rock, my salvation. You're the light. The darkness runs away from you. Cannot stand to be in your presence. Just by being, you destroy all of my enemies. Oh, thank you so much. I praise you, Lord. That's how he starts off. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. For you have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. We don't know exactly what it was that he was dealing with, but it doesn't take anybody with but an ounce of common sense to realize that this was very troublesome for this person. He was in a very dark place, very much alone, very much feeling like, what can I do? Very much helpless. So he just lays out before the Lord. He says, Lord, I'm looking to you for an answer. I need an answer. My heart, I remember, Lord, says to seek you, so I'm seeking you, but it's really, really hard. I don't know if any of you have ever been in a situation like that. I have been. I know of other people who have been. It's a very bad place to be. You're not thinking correctly. For just a brief moment, you've taken your eyes off of the cross. For just a brief moment, you've forgotten everything that Jesus did. And in that brief moment, it's like, oh my goodness, how am I going to even take another breath to have another day? Or how? The Lord is my light and my salvation. He is a strength. He is my strength, my stronghold, my place of safety, my rock of refuge. It's not me. It's the Lord. It's not my plans, it's the Lord's plans. It's not my will, it's the Lord's will. And I know who the Lord is, the gracious and compassionate God. He's slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he doesn't leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate him. So he knows. He keeps track, and he will make sure that we are protected. And so how does King David, how was he told to end this psalm? See, you can end your prayers, you can end your devotions one of two ways. You can either say, Lord, you're good. This is the problems. Please take care of it. Oh, man, I don't know how you're going to do it. Amen. And walk away. Or you can say, Lord, you're good. You're great. These are the problems. I know you're going to take care of them. Thank you so much for taking care of them. David said, I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Wait. That's what faith is. God has promised, wait. It's always been hard to do. It's always been worthwhile. The disciples, what happened? They were afraid for their lives. Jesus had been crucified between two other criminals. Couldn't even give him a proper burial. In a tomb he goes. And they had to wait and wait and wait until finally that great good news burst on their ears. He's not here, he's risen. Then Jesus appears and says the same thing. Peace, your sins are forgiven. And with that good news, we go out into the world. And yes, there are going to come times where it's going to be very scary, when it's going to look as if wickedness is getting away with everything, and that the righteous are being pursued until the righteous are going to be swept from the earth. And God says, ain't going to happen. I am protecting my people. I will guard and keep you as my own. Wait. In his name, so let us live this week. Amen.